In dealing with our sins, God is just and fair and sent us His Son to give us hope for eternity. Listen now as our teacher, Mike McIntosh, begins this edition of Chapter and Verse.
We've lost it. I only have a few years left, and some of you have many years left, but I'll spend my few trying to bring people back to the core of their faith in Jesus Christ, that the people that are called my grandkids and the mom and dad of two of my great-grandsons are sitting here. I want them to have a chance. And it's not going to be a dollar bill. I don't have those to give. But it is going to be faith. It is going to be hope. It is going to be truth. And it is going to be justice. God is a just God. And where there's an injustice, He looks for men that will stand for righteousness and make a just decision.
And I'll stand up and shout. And I'll praise You, Lord.
Having an earnest expectation of hope. That's our topic and title today on Chapter and Verse as we continue our studies in Paul's letter to the Romans. Today, our teacher Mike McIntosh is leading us through a verse-by-verse study of Chapter 8. Without hope, men perish. We can live without many things in life, but hope is not one of them. It's a proven fact that humans can endure incredible deprivation if they can maintain hope in their hearts. But if that hope is extinguished, survival is threatened. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 as we continue our teaching together with Pastor Mike McIntosh through God's Word, chapter and verse.
I only have a few years left, and some of you have many years left, but I'll spend my few trying to bring people back to the core of their faith in Jesus Christ, that the people that are called my grandkids and the mom and dad of two of my great-grandsons are sitting here. I want them to have a chance. And it's not going to be a dollar bill. I don't have those to give. But it is going to be faith. It is going to be hope. It is going to be truth. And it is going to be justice. God is a just God. And where there's an injustice, He looks for men that will stand for righteousness and make a just decision. Not a political correct decision. Earnestly, expectation in the word creation. Because we find it so many times in this discussion. Earnest expectation, creation, eagerly waits, and then revealing the sons of God. Creation was cursed when mankind sinned. Trees weren't designed to die. Flowers were not designed to die. Rot, mold, and decay were not designed into the picture. When God finished the creation, He said, "It is good." So everything was good. I'm taking a midterm tomorrow for a science class I'm taking, and it taught me some good things about the young earth and the old earth. And the debate has always been evolution versus creation. And the atheists have accepted the evolution and put it into every school board, into every college, and taken away the concept of creation. There's something bigger than government. No. We all evolve. Government. Tax you a little here, tax you a little there, tax you a little. Government. Oh, bless you, government. Oh, our Savior is. That's what's happening. But that I stand before you and tell you is a lie, that the Lord God Almighty is healthy and alive and sitting on His throne. He's never had a cold or a sniffle in His nose, and He has all power in heaven and earth. All creation. You know, some scientists came together, and this fall we're going to have scientists here on Sunday mornings teaching about the dinosaurs and the creation. Christian men and women that are really, really bright and good communicators. Because if they get a little beyond what you can understand, I'll just get up here with a comic book about dinosaurs and read it, and you'll get it. But they're great. You know, this was a paper I wrote last week for this class. I was telling the professor that this one thought of helium. I didn't know helium was the lightest atom structure thing on the earth next to hydrogen. But since God spoke here about creation, 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 scientists started saying, well, the Bible does say that. We don't accept it. But the Christian scientists now turn their minds to forget evolution, forget everything I've been trained in school. God's speaking to them now, creation. And what does it say here? Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. So it didn't willingly say we're going to start dying and rivers will get polluted. In futility, it is alive, but it can't fight it. Now the world comes along and says, Mother Nature. Mother Nature, have you ever heard that? Oh, that's Mother Nature. Let's go camping in Mother Nature. Do you know that's an Eastern Hinduism philosophy that is in America under the guise of Mother Nature? Elton John singing in the jungle movie, The Circle of Life, The Circle of Life. And that's pure Hinduism, The Circle of Life. You see, the circle of life doesn't have anything for you to start or stop at other than losing, that you'll keep coming back as a ruptured bullfrog or an old horse somewhere in a stable. Great hope. It keeps you away from creator creation, you. No, creator you creation. You're over the creation. But oh no, if there's a Willy Wally shrimp anywhere near your backyard and you ask to do a room extension with the San Diego Building Department, oh no, those Willy Wally shrimps, they were here since the dinosaurs. They're in that PB area. You cannot build out there. You hire a lawyer. You spend $200,000 just fighting to do what you should be able to do on your own property. Oh, the spotted owl. Did you spot one? No. Have you ever seen one? No. No. I've talked to a lot. Anybody here ever seen a spotted owl? But those spotted owls, they had to change the whole Environmental Protection Agency over spotted owls. And Paul started this book in Romans out in chapter 1 saying that man loves the creature, serves the creature rather than the creator. And so every science class, every altered, revised history book, everything about history has been revised in a way that the heavens have been shut up from you and your children and your future grandchildren, and government is the provider for your gasoline. Government provides the bread and the food. Government takes care of you with their really brilliant medical system. They take care of you with your retirement system. We will really take care of you. And yet, the average member of the House is worth $11.3 million. A bunch of millionaires that are making decisions for you and I are just waiting for next week's paycheck. And how am I going to pay what the insurance company didn't pay at my last visit? You see, government, right at this point, is not of the people or for the people, and it's definitely not by the people. For government has made decisions without even doing what the Congress says, what the Constitution says. What is being done is what they want. In verse 20, circle the word creation, subjected futility, not willingly. So there is an earnest expectation of creation, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Creation is subjected, verse 20, in futility, not willingly. It doesn't want to be old and die. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. You have glorious liberty from the Creator. So in chapter verse 21, creation itself, circle that, and delivered, bondage of corruption, glorious liberty, children of God. So just with those words, we have an earnest expectation of creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is subjected to futility. It's dying. It gets old. It turns brown. The limbs fall off, not willingly. Creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption through the glorious liberty of God's children. Wow. Things are going to change. That's what it says. That when Jesus appears, there's going to be 1,000 years on this planet where Satan will be chained into the bowels of the earth. We have, if I'm not mistaken, 7 miles of earth crust and 174 miles of the next layer, the mantle, and then go to the core and the inner core. Helium. Helium is so light that it rises, they found out, from the interior of the earth. So it moves through rocks, dirt, sand, silica, shale, keeps moving, it comes up to that crust, the dirt. And when it gets to the crust, it may have hit a rock, and it is so small, it can come through the tiniest pores, and then it rises to our atmosphere. And helium can be used for something else than you and me talking like Donald Duck with a balloon. Seriously, can. Helium can be mathematically followed. So these scientists started for a few years tracking helium. And they found out that every year, X amount of helium comes from the earth and makes it into our atmosphere. And every year, this amount of helium that has already been there dissipates. So the positive or the negative number came to them. And they realized, if we can extrapolate this out, we can go backwards and we can tell how old the earth is. When did this helium start filling our atmosphere? And they found out it was less than 10,000 years ago. Most things that they're finding was 5 to 7,000 years ago. The one thing that the secular scientist or researcher does not have is Noah's flood. Scientists have found out that there's a decay factor in everything. Well, it's really sin has come in, and it's what you just read there. In futility, the earth is just falling apart. If you look at the earth as a circle, God very wisely put a magnetic band around it, a magnetism going both ways. And rocks point the correct way of the magnetism, and some can spread out and show three ways. So even the rocks, when Jesus said, when the people said, tell your people to quit praising you, Jesus said, these very rocks will praise me. God is amazing, because scientists say that if you gave our magnetic system that protects our earth from the bombardment of things that we don't even know about, even rays that can kill us, if we gave it a 1,400-year half-life, meaning 1,400 years from now, the strength of our magnetic barrier would be half of what it is today. And they have been following this since 1835. And they realistically know they have to go backwards with a half. And how many half-lives has it been since God first put man on here? Because if the magnetism was too much, there's no way life could be here. It would be very, very distorted, whatever it would be. Then you think of God talking to Adam and to Eve. The two shall no longer be one flesh, but they shall. The two shall no longer be two, but they shall become one flesh. And I've given you an order here. And this is your authority, to go out and to multiply and subdue the earth. You're over the earth. Multiply, subdue, and replenish. Something in a cookie jar is taken out, the cookies. Sandy goes to Costco for the kids and replenishes the cookie jar. So man and wife are replenishing. That's what marriage is for. So you want to get a generation before you take full control to believe that marriages aren't necessary. Men and women can just live together and have all the privileges together. Oh, that's destroying them. I've destroyed the image of God, who they are supposed to be representing him, multiplying, subduing, and replenishing. Let's let men marry men and women marry women. He's done it again. So he's at the end, and God in the Bible, in various places, all the way from the Old Testament, specifically New Testament, gives warnings that there is a day that you are going to all disappear or left for the judgment that is coming on this planet. And they have proven, just with the helium, that this is a young planet. And 1600 years after God created the first human beings, he sent the flood of Noah. And when you put the flood factor into all scientific research, it now tells you the pressure it took to form the Grand Canyon or the Colorado River or what it took to push mountains up that high or certain angles of mountains. And they're able to see that a flood would have caused the things that have brought the Rockies up and different things before this was all there. It's a young earth. You're a young person because you're going to live for eternity. And you eagerly, with are earnest, with expectation, waiting to see God reveal the sons of God and to let all the creation, those of you that watch the Smart Guys channel, I just go through it, science something or other, one night I was surfing and they showed this sound coming through these big satellite dishes out in New Mexico. And they had discovered life in outer space. And they started, when they started these things, they had them all over the world. And there's this drone that some pick up. Some say it sounds like a pod of whales in Maui that have come from cold Alaskan waters, and they're birthing their calves in the... You've seen that the pods of whales are underwater, and they talk. Well, the universe is talking. It's groaning. It knew what it was like in the presence of God when there was no sin anywhere in his creation. Those stars, those supernovas, those nebulas, those black holes, those things that we don't even understand that are there. Just for us to see a beautiful sunset, that's wonderful. But for that machine, that furnace, the sun, to be designed to spew heat and light for billions of years, who spun it? How is it turning? What motor's inside of it? Why is it not something that has decayed and died? Or will it someday in all the planets in its line? It's groaning. They know they're tired. Things are happening. Oh. And sometimes you've grown, you go, oh, whoever you're living with, they say, what? Oh, nothing, it's just me. Oh, groaning again, is she? Oh, you know, you just feel bad. Or something happens and you just get, Lord, oh, Lord. And the Holy Spirit intercedes right there and he says, Lord, this person really needs a lot of help. You're in tune. And he's breathing, bringing things in tune, and he is going to bless you. So he will help you in your weaknesses. He will pray for you and intercede with groanings. He searches the heart. He knows the spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will. And would you please stand? And we will read out loud verse 28. Please. And this is where we'll start next week. I'll read it first, and then I'd like you to read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let us read that together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let's read the first 8 words together. And we know that all things work together for good. Well, 10. All things. Not some things or a few things or once in a while. Whatever you're going through right now as you take communion, let it go before God. If you can't, Holy Spirit, just say a word. Help me release this guilt, this anger. God, let him intercede for you. As we worship him, all things work together for good. all things, even if you're in trouble, you've done something wrong and you're guilty, it will end up working for good if you release it into the Lord's hands. Trust Him. Our God and our Father, as we take this communion, we thank You for the honor and the privilege to be used by You, to be able to hear You, to speak with You, to pray, to acknowledge You, to circle words in our Bibles and underline them, to write notes so that we can remember things You have taught us. We thank You that there is an earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waiting for You to reveal the manifestation of the sons of God. And God, we're grateful that You have made it known through Paul that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because You did this because of the fall of man. Creation was so pure it could have overtaken man. We thank You, Lord, that the creation itself is going to be delivered from bondage, this beautiful thing that You created, from the corruption, the taste of decay, into glorious liberty. We thank You, Lord. Many of us didn't know that we have glorious liberty as being a child of God. Lord, we thank You that You've made it known by, we know, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together, the whole creation, until now this truth. And not only that, God, those of us that have the first fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we now know that when we're groaning within ourselves, it's the Spirit eagerly waiting for the fulfillment of our adoption, the redemption of these old bodies that are scratched and cut and broken, twisted, bruised, weak, that You're giving us a new one. And we were saved with this hope, God. You were promised that we would go to heaven and we would leave the death of this planet. God, we come to You according to Your word because Isaiah spoke. You spoke through him that there was a day he saw at the end where he said that the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it is removed out of its place like a cottage. Lord, you have said that the earth is defiled under her inhabitants. And Isaiah saw this almost 3,000 years ago. And we can smell the smog. And we can smell the stench of the city dump. And we see that our yard is turned brown. And that flowers die. And today we learn that they weren't designed. The world was designed to be beautiful for us to explore. For us to be like little children, never having to fight or argue, never having to hit someone or hit back, never to say a terse, pointed word from our mouth to anyone. You gave us so much, Lord, and we don't know it all because we weren't there at the beginning. I ask You to help these people, this church. I'm being selfish, I know, but I'm asking You'll open their eyes and their ears. They'll begin hearing and seeing and give them the knowledge and understanding to fear You. That what they're being told around them is a lie. And the people spewing the lie are even prisoners in bondage to the corruption. And that we are to love people. I pray for these people that make this their home. They would become more serious about their love for You and for one another. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, that the birth pangs of the return of Jesus can be felt. Help everyone here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What a great relief to know that no matter what comes our way, hope is always available. As Pastor Mike pointed out, we must abandon temporary hopes and cling to the firm and powerful promises that God has provided through His Word. Well, if you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we covered your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us a chapter and verse. Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's chapter and verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time on CNV when we'll continue in the New Testament and the Book of Romans. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.